There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it.
Well, welcome to Weather Nag and Focus on this wonderful Monday afternoon. It's 84 degrees outside, sunny skies, and a light breeze. No, it's not. It's cold. We got wind chills in the single digits with cloudy skies. There's still a few leftover snow showers on radar in parts of western Minnesota, also in the far northern valley as well. But compared to this morning, temperatures have dropped like a rock, and there's even colder weather coming our way. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our wonderful, talented Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And good afternoon, Bridget. You are on the road again, and you've got quiet weather this time for a change.
For the moment, I really do. It's windy, there's no doubt, and yes, it's chilly. I'm not looking forward to stepping outside the vehicle just to fill gas here in a little while, but yeah, it's a little chilly out today. And thankfully, roads have been good, so that's probably a big bonus for a lot of people. We can deal with cold, we can deal with wind. Not having to ice skate everywhere you're going makes a big difference as well. So still watch the road reports. I know that areas to the north of the valley and to the northwest, as you head out to the Devil's Lake Basin, even from like Findlay and Mayville going northwest, it's icy out there.
It is. Careful. Yeah. The far northern valley is a lot more slick than the central and southern valley. But we're looking at pretty quiet weather for the rest of the afternoon, just cold and breezy, but even colder weather coming by midweek.
Right now, that icy area, it's scattered ice, but just because roads have been wet, we should be cautious because they haven't completely dried off yet. And as we're watching temperatures fall, that's going to get a little bit worse. I'm down in the southeast part of the state, really. And so far, we're good for green to go for good driving conditions. I'm hoping that stays this way for a number of days, but it's not going to warm up anytime soon, at least not till later in the weekend, maybe.
Yeah,
or at least that's what Dean thinks.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a cold week ahead. No big storms on the horizon. That's great news for travel, especially for your travel, because you're always on the road. But yeah, we're definitely looking at a cold but quiet weather week. And I'll be gone for the rest of the week here, Bridget. After today, I am going down to Nebraska. I will be one of the guest speakers. We're going to be talking about the LRC and how it can help our ag community. So I'll be, if any of our ag community is going to be down in Nebraska, there's a big ag conference there, the big Nebraska Ag Expo in Lincoln tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. So stop on by and see us. We'll be down there and giving our talk Wednesday afternoon at about 11 o'clock. So, again, if you're going to be down there, head on out and say hello.
I personally am on my way to Pierce, South Dakota. It is the South Dakota Cattlemen's Convention this week, and they'll be kicking things off with a number of policy meetings. They have several committees. A lot of these policies are not only good for the benefit of the members of their state, the same way North Dakota had theirs in September out in Bismarck, but then additionally, you will see those types of things roll up to national accomplishments with National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And then also, we have to think about the fact that they have classes for their as far as educational. Their theme this year is land and legacy. And so they want to make sure that folks know what they can be doing to have great, consistent care of the land. There's a ranching for profit workshop that's going to be held. And then there also are some other ones that are going to be going on. And then tomorrow night, there is a roping demonstration and so much more. So there's a little bit of fun, but a bit of business that gets accomplished at these events.
Good deal.
There'll be much to happen. Yeah. So looking forward to getting down to Pierre. And right now, just kind of taking more of a creative route, because when I took off this morning, not all the roads were good to go yet, you might say. They weren't all green like we can see now.
Right. Yeah. No doubt. And we've got a guest coming, a returning guest that will be on today.
He is going to be joining us because Levi Otis not only works for Ellingson Drainage in the area, but he has a number of other things that he does too. And one of them is the Midwest Council on Ag. Some of you are saying, well, what is that? Well, that's up to Levi to talk about it and help describe that to us. But we want to make sure to cover that. I think there's some other items to think about. One is that we also have gotten a recent report that farming could be a net negative in greenhouse gases. For so many times we hear that, oh, the cows are doing it to us, or all these farming practices with diesel fuel and other emissions. Well, that's not the problem. With this report that was recently brought out by an ag research company mentioned the fact that farmers who, especially because we've had so many acres that have gone into a conservation reserve or our minimum tills to no tills, though they are storing more carbon than ever before. These practices also are cutting down on wind and soil erosions. They're doing a great job of keeping our soils in tip-top condition. Also, they realize that with the efficiency of using GPS as well as precision ag, we're not running equipment the way we once did. So we're cutting back in the amount of diesel fuel that's being used. And really that gives us a better understanding of what greenhouse gases look like. We're not the culprits here in ag that we are made out to be. That's other industries really just trying to hide what they do. And it's, I always find it funny that big companies want to buy a farmer's carbon credits, right? We want to pay you to store more carbon for us. Like, you do the practices to store carbon because we're not going to change the practices that we do over here on our footprint. Maybe the tide is turning a little bit on some of those things. So we'll see what that looks like. Also, one of the things that has been brought up in the news as of late is potential tariffs that could be happening, especially if Trump does decide to have a conversation with Canada as one of those areas that could be getting about a 25% tariff. If that happens, we get potash fertilizer from Canada, about 87% of our potash, which is used heavily in this region as we farm. That potash would now have a 25% increase on it as far as the tariff is concerned, if the tariffs go through. What I find interesting to note, though, is as concerned as some may be about current grocery prices, that type of thing won't help. Our input costs won't be coming down. And an unexpected area that we don't talk about is many of the pesticides that we use, their base products, some of their base ingredients come from other countries like China and Russia, and tariffs will add to that cost as well. So really some of our farming inputs could go up quite a lot that people weren't expecting at this point. So keep an eye out for what will happen with new administration. I'm not saying that tariffs don't work or that in some cases they're a good idea, but do remember what that does as far as an implication into our food production as well will make a difference.
Well, that would more than likely raise prices as well.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
When you have higher input costs, it will raise your price. Now, we realize there's been a lot of inflation in food in the last 4 years. And so what's the challenge of what do you cut down? Do you cut down some of the inflation, even though some of your input costs are higher and your food prices are up? So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see what that looks like. We're not quite sure yet.
Well, he said, did you see what he said to Trudeau, too? He's like, well, if we can't work something out, maybe you guys can become our 51st state.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we wouldn't have to.
And really, when you talk to Canadians on the Black Soil Prairies, so Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta, I don't think they really have a problem with that.
Okay.
They would be okay with making that type of a change, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
So we'll see where all of that leads.
Oh.
But, the fact is folks are looking forward to, is there a better price on groceries that will be coming up for their their Christmas dinner? I don't know that I can tell you you're going to have a whole lot less pricing. For those of us who really love beef at Christmas, the beef has not come down. Beef is a staple in our diets. Right now, cattlemen are enjoying what's a rare opportunity to be profitable and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And with beef prices being up, one of the things that drives that, of course, is demand. And man, oh life, do we have demand. Folks that you're getting onto this carnivore diet, they're looking for all sorts of types of protein.
Right.
Beef is certainly one of them. Well, same with eggs and pork and chicken.
It's all up, but it's all good, though, too.
It's all very good. Yeah. Yes, so that makes a big difference.
All right.
all quite tasty.
Right. Well, Levi just got in, so we're going to go to him in a little bit. But first, we have to hear from American Ag Network, and then when we come back, we'll have Levi Otis on with us. So don't go anywhere. If you have any questions for us or Levi, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for being here today. Very glad to have you joining us. And a big shout out for those of you who are getting ready for your holiday parties and dinners and so much more. Don't forget to call Great Harvest Bread Company. Cassie and her crew will make sure that you can have some of their heavenly buns ready to go for the holiday season and so much more. Great quality flours go into their breads and scones and cookies. And if you are curious, what's the special, you might say, well, it's Monday. So make sure you are checking out their salted caramel cookies. They have blueberry streusel or rhubarb streusel cream scones and so much more. So don't forget a stop at Great Harvest Bread Company. Today, when we're visiting with our guest, you can also give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe line, 701-293-9000. Emails are always welcome at weather@flagfamily.com or ag@flagfamily.com. And thanks to Levi Otis for stopping by to be on air with us today. We greatly appreciate that. Levi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Okay. Normally we talk about all things drainage and water, and we'll probably get to some of them today. But I know you're also a part of the Midwest Council on Ag. What is that? Because I've had to ask that question before too. What do you all do?
Sure. I'm involved with a number of different policy organizations, and Midwest Council on Agriculture is one of them. Former chairman of House Ag Committee, Colin Peterson, after he was beat by Michelle Fischbach, continued to want to work on behalf of the farmers in the Northern Plains, and called a few of us up to see what we thought, and we basically designed this, or he designed this, after the Southwest Council on Agriculture out of Texas and the southern states. If anybody follows a farm bill, you'll see that peanuts and cotton get quite a bit out of the farm bill. And the history there was a congressman went back to his home district after getting defeated, and everybody said, you didn't do anything for us. And he organized those folks and said, well, peanuts, cotton, all these other groups come in and they ask, they all have different asks. And this guy's point was, why don't you get together and ask for the five low-hanging fruit and start chipping away at issues that the region has? And so that's basically what Midwest Council on Ag has done. We've got 90 members from some of the commodity groups, not all of them, a lot of different agribusinesses. Some farmers are ponying up their money to be members of it, and we go to D.C. a couple times a year. And our low-hanging fruit, obviously, is getting a farm bill done, for one. Reference prices, commodities. Don't ask me a lot of this insurance stuff because I'm not very well versed in it. As you know, I believe in self-insurance, i.e. drain tile. Those are some of the, well, a lot of the things that we work on. We work good with sugar. Sugar, of course, is probably at the best lobby out of anything in Washington, D.C., so it is bringing a lot of those federal issues up to the forefront, and then working with our congressional delegations on how we can help them help us, right? The old right. Jerry Maguire, help me help you. There's a lot of truth in that. And so we do, I think it is important for people to go to Washington, D.C., meet with your congressional delegation, learn how this stuff goes. You know, it's not all on TikTok and Facebook, and I mean, we get in some fun wars, but getting out there and showing your delegation that what you feel, it just adds a certain weight to it that you don't get maybe on sending just a letter or a phone call. But starting with those, is I encourage people to at least do that.
How long have you been with the Ag?
Well, when it started, so are we on year four? I just actually got voted back in as a board member for another, I think, three-year term, so this must be our fourth year.
And I know you said you wanted to kind of tackle the low-hanging fruit, and would you say the farm bill is probably number one? I mean, that's got to get passed.
Yeah, it's got to get passed, and they'll probably do a CR on it. I don't know why Senator Stabenow waited so long. I do know, because the House wasn't going to pass anything without getting their wins in it. So now,
yeah, so I was going to say they added a pile of stuff to it that's been holding everything up right now.
And so I like to use the term, elections have consequences, and they do. So now guess what? You got to play on the other side of the ring.
Yep.
Okay, so What are some of those other topics that you guys are tackling when you go off to Washington, D.C.? If this was not a farm bill year, what would you be looking to cover?
Well, specifically, you know, I work in conservation, right? So there's small things that agencies have done over the years that need to either be unwound. You know, we talk a lot about red tape and things that hold us back. And going through those line item by line item, I don't think your listeners, you know, want me to dig into maybe the conservation title. But there are plenty of things that we can work for. Well, and it'll be interesting now that Pacific Legal Foundation won the Chevron deference case. So a lot of those agencies that have made rules beyond what the mm-hmm. Supreme Court says was their authority, a lot of that might be becoming unwound, and we're just kind of waiting for the Trump administration to start and before we start digging our hands into that. But there's just a lot of things that you just don't know as even a everyday farmer or an everyday citizen that the government does that makes things more expensive and harder to get done. And unless I play in this world and I forget more than I ever know, like on a weekly basis. That's why I got this big notebook.
Well, yeah, because there's stuff that you're going to have to tackle that you didn't really realize was tied together, but governmentally over the years, it's been tied together more so than one expected. And what you said about the whole rollback with Chevron, that decision, I don't think we realize all the areas that's going to affect when you have agencies, whether it's EPA, FDA, even Bureau of Land Management. I think they've all taken some liberties that now we may see change quite a lot over the next year.
Yeah,
if that
absolutely.
Sounds right.
Yep, absolutely. One of the bigger wins that we've had in the last 10 years was the issues with wetland setbacks. NRCS continues to change them, either for the good or worse, but there's not a lot of input, or at least the input that they take, depending on who's above them, is the pile of papers that they seem to take. And our NRCS in North Dakota is done a 360 or a 180, excuse me, since I started this in 2014. And I look at the NRCS as a tool in the toolbox for the American farmer. And a lot of NRCS offices treat it like they're a tool for the environmentalists, and that is not right. And so I applaud our NRCS in North Dakota, because if you do have a issue with one of the employees, it's corrected very fast. One of the big issues that we'll be working on in conservation is U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and now with our governor going to head up that department, it's going to there's a lot of people in North Dakota that are looking to that office to get back to where we're at. And I've got a buddy down in Oaks, and he said, if the law is the law, then the government, too, needs to follow the law.
Right.
And I think I just don't think people understand that the government themselves breaks the law on a daily basis.
And so often I don't think we realize how subjective the decisions are that happen on a local level, whether it's with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. I mean, there's instances like the Maud Ranch in South Dakota where they had a decades-long lease, and all of a sudden one particular officer with Fish and Wildlife wanted to say, oh, you know what, I don't like how this is being handled. And it's now they're being dragged into federal court. So though that kind of – it doesn't happen everywhere. We do have, like you said, great people that work at FSA and other areas – NRCS that want to work very closely with the constituents who are local and to accomplish common sense goals. It's when we don't have those that we run into more trouble. And conservation, man, you can easily find that very divisive, being on one side or the other, depending on your opinion.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And it frustrates me because farmers are the ultimate conservationists, right?
Yes.
Right? Like, it's undeniable, and we need to get more buses on these schools, especially in Fargo, so we don't end up maybe like other states with super large cities where people are just voting off of what they hear on TikTok and not understanding what is going on the farm. It's appalling to me on a personal level that the government can come at you, and because of somebody's subjective right? Somebody's subjective thought. Now all of a sudden you're in federal court spending your own tax money or your own personal money, and you're facing your tax money, and that person doesn't have any recourse on being wrong about dragging you into court. And if the judge sides with you, that person still has a job, and they're just moving on to the next place.
What's the best way to educate Absolutely. People on, you know, what's really going on?
Well, you could listen to this show daily.
Well, that's step one.
Step one. You know, Cody at the Red River Valley Fair, with that Ag Center, I think needs to be a spotlight for us and our youth. I obviously work with farmers every day, so when I call somebody up and say, can my daughter plant with you this week, or can she jump in a combine, or, right, can you show her how the
bins
work?
Can you see this stuff?
Right. It's very simple, and I actually don't know any farmer that's not willing to do that.
Right.
And maybe that's something we could talk about off air in the future, is how do you grab a bunch of kids and let's go out and educate them, and hopefully someday when they're driving in the car and mom and dad say something silly, they can correct them.
And I think it's good that they do. The more that they spend time hearing and learning, they're the next batch of constituent voters. Personally, I think that one of the ways that we're going to do that is as we continue to gain students who are going to be our assistant ag director. They will join us on this show. And I'll need a different kid every month. So I have one show per month where a student joins us. And they not only talk through the headlines, but help interview guests like yourself, Levi. And that gives them a whole different perspective of why we do the things we do in ag. And I think it's great to hear their perspective of what they see, more importantly.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And it allows us to know if we're training or teaching them right. If we're trying to show them something and they're not getting it, it's good to hear that we're not getting it.
Absolutely. Well, stay tuned, folks. We have other questions to ask of our guest today, and that's Levi Otis. And he's talking today on behalf of the Midwest Council on Ag. So for questions that you might have, you can send them to us. Again, email ag@flagfamily.com or weather@flagfamily.com. And above all, you can call us on the Red Wing Shoe line, 701-293-9000. Bottom of the hour news, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. So glad that you can be here this afternoon on this very windy, windy day. Nonetheless, there's much to talk about. One of those things happens to be our guest today, and that would be Levi Otis. Levi is with the Midwest Council on Ag. And Levi, I had a question. As we went to break there just for a moment, having recently been in Washington, D.C. post-election, how's everybody's attitude? Are things going to get done, or are we essentially at a lame duck standstill at this point? What did you see?
Well, it depends what offices you went to. I would say that a lot of offices were really excited. There was a lot of smiles. I think that when your party gains control of the House, the Senate, and the president's office, at least the handcuffs are off. And I think where people get frustrated with politics is those 2 years that you have time to do something and you don't do anything. You better have an answer for that. And that's typically why every 2 years you seem to lose the House, and, you know, then you have a 2 years worth of bickering on media. But for that, it was great. The other side of the aisle, everybody said, well, I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know how Elon and Vivek are going to cut $2 trillion worth of budget. And I think some of that's fair, because to cut a lot of that stuff, you need congressional approval or you need 60 votes in the Senate. So it's going to be a lot harder. But I tell you what, when the American people start seeing those line items that they put on their Twitter/X or putting on billboards on the amount of money that we spend in a interesting way, I think back to the movie Independence Day, when the dad says to the scientist, you don't think they spend $500 on a hammer, do you?
Yeah.
So figuring out where that, $495 goes, that would be great. Right.
Well, we haven't been able to do it yet. So maybe this will be the,
well, if the anybody term. Could do it. Right. And that was one thing. Well, they're not even qualified. And I said, you know, Elon literally rescued NASA, astronauts with his own spaceship. mm-hmm. and he's not an astronaut. Yeah. So right. if anybody's going to give it a shot, I just say let's see what happens, and you know, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But those are two really brilliant people. Right.
As much as politicians like to run Washington, D.C., it's actually still a business, and having business people run things isn't all bad.
Well, no. I personally don't think so. I mean, you have to have walked in our shoes, right? And those people were not born super rich, right? So they have used the government, fought the government, made the government work for them, right? So if anybody can do it, it's definitely business guys.
Yeah, and not everything's going to go great. It's the same way at your job. Not everybody makes you happy 100% of the time. If that was the case, well, congratulations to you. But reality is that's not the way it is every day.
Right.
Not for many people. Now, you mentioned funding. And so let's touch on that if we can, Levi. You've secured funding as the Midwest Ag and Midwest Council on Ag. And how does that happen? How do you walk through those steps to get funding from USDA?
Well, so we have two senators in North Dakota, just like every state, and our senior senator is I call him the check writer, and Senator Kramer is the regulatory guy. So if we have funding requests or things that we want to see funded, we go to Senator Hoeven. When you want red tape reduction and somebody that's going to figure out why we are too far in the weeds on regulatory issues or regulation, that's a Kramer thing. And this particular instance was Senator Hoeven, who is now he's the chair of Senate Ag Appropriations. That means he's the chief check writer for anything agriculture. We are in a very, very powerful spot being in the Northern Plains. You've got Senator Klobuchar, who works great with our senators here, and she is the vice chair of Senate Ag. Someday when the Democrats take back the Senate, she will be the agriculture chair. And again, she works really well with our congressional delegation. We've got John Thune, the senator from South Dakota, who is on, he's the majority leader.
And
so mm-hmm. when you have those states and many members of our 90 organizations that make up Midwest Council on Ag are from South Dakota, are from Minnesota, that's where you get a bipartisan effort to go and say, okay, this is what we want to do. So we made a request for some money from USDA to build a policy center at NDSU. And this policy center is going to be open for Congress to reach out and say, okay, if we apply tariffs on soybeans in China, how is this going to affect the soybean growers?
Right.
And this policy center will crank that information out and get it to Congress so we can – notify the president. What's your contingency plan after you do this? Could be a water issue, right? We could have questions on what saline soils do to the ground and cause us economically. Well, NDSU would probably work with Iowa State because they're a huge ag and biosystems engineering school. NDSU, obviously, soil health. Right. So we've got really great partnerships of the land grants that are involved in this and will allow NDSU to be able to report in with the assistance of the other schools. So it's pretty efficient. But Hoeven delivered $2 million, and now working with NDSU will make sure that we do it right.
Well, I just want to reiterate that policy, those dollars to set up a policy center at NDSU brings information in from all the regional land-grant universities because it can funnel it back to Washington. And this is common sense. Here's the economics of what will happen if this decision goes through or doesn't go through. It realistically tells us what our economy generator is or isn't based on a decision that could be made governmentally rather than an advisor who may be advising the president who's not close to the situation or any other senators. Would
Bingo.
That be
yep.
correct?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And in that instance, I hope that it's not just about policy. And my hope lies in agronomics because earlier we mentioned U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And every agency has its purpose. Fish and Wildlife does too. The thing that's hard with Fish and Wildlife is they're now stepping in when it comes to labeling on pesticides and talking about buffer zones and making some changes that can be detrimental to how farmers farm. So, for instance, I don't have a problem if we want to have a buffer zone of where we spray a field with a fungicide if we're up next to a waterway. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense is when all of those buffers have never been enforceable, vary by distance, they're hard to follow, and then you leave an area of a field that's essentially naked, and now you have a disease or a pest that can run rampant in that area of the field that causes a greater economic damage to your overall crop versus what you would have had before. So that's just one of the areas I see with them. I'm sure with conservation, you see a lot of different sides to fish and wildlife.
Well, and I would argue when that easement was signed by the landowner at that time, 50s, 60s, 70s, was that written into the contract? Because that sure seems to me like we're changing the rules after the game started. And that
those are on federal pesticide labels. That's a big change. You're exactly right.
Right. And so when we talk about U.S. Fish and Wildlife issues in the line of work that I do, those easements were signed back in, like I said, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and they weren't included. There was no map included. So now when somebody gets in trouble for improving ground or drainage in a U.S. Fish and Wildlife, let's say just a quarter, U.S. Fish and Wildlife shows up with maps that they developed after the easement was signed, and then they're telling the judge, well, see, this map from 2012 shows a wet mark, but defense says none of these other maps have wet marks just in 2012, and judges are actually siding with the landowner saying you can't just pick a fairy tale out of this huge stack of paper and then this is the one that you're going to show.
Right.
But I think that will be, in fact, under Trump administration, first time we were able to get the U.S. Fish and Wildlife maps done so that at least the setbacks, meaning how far we have to stay away from a wetland with a tile line, we got them to mirror the NRCS because at least the NRCS uses science and math, right? The hydrology on it. U.S. Fish and Wildlife, they're law enforcement, right? So their goals are to protect the wetland at whatever they deem necessary, where NRCS looks more of it as, you know, agronomically, right? So
absolutely.
Those are just things farmers have to deal with, especially in North Dakota. I mean, millions of acres that we're seeing it tied up, and it's awful.
Man,
I really appreciate the fact that there can be updates to policy, because even though we have done something for many, many years, it's changed. So, for instance, when you look at federal pesticide labels and they talk about an endangered species, and you have to go look at Bulletins Live, which is a government website that tells you the endangered species that's in your county, even though you're told you have to go look at Bulletins Live, there was, and the example was the timber rattler in Minnesota, which has been out of Minnesota for 50 years, but because it was considered an endangered species, there were certain counties that could not have glyphosate sprayed in them because the timber rattler once existed there, even though its existence has been gone by 50 years. Those things need to be updated. We have to use common sense when we build some of our rules too. And that would be a great thing that hopefully you, as someone with the Midwest Council on Ag, can help us do better. We appreciate that part of it, Levi.
Yeah. And is there a website you want to get?
Yeah, MidwestCouncil.org is our website. MidwestCouncil.org is the website. And it's at least there's information. There's a way to get a hold of any or all of us. With 90 members, we've got everybody from dairy to, you know, drain tile or seed or chemical or whatever, banks. Everybody loves a bank. There's just a lot of resources. And as we move forward into 25, I know we're going to try to do a lot more with social media and get the word out so that people know what we're doing. And it's very helpful, to be honest with you. It's more impactful to bring an actual farmer to DC and work on these behalf so we could say, you know, I'm not doing this for us. This is the farmer that's impacted, right? And so I think you're going to see a lot of farmers get rolling on policy issues come this winter.
Good.
So,
and I hope they do.
Yeah.
I hope they pick up on those things, and I really hope that when you mentioned folks need to send their letters and make their phone calls, too often I hear, well, that's not impactful. I think you see the other side of it, Levi. I think it really is impactful.
Well, it is impactful. That's why I've got a job, right? I mean, when you start getting wins, they're like, crap, we can't let them go now. You know, so, yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I think sometimes people don't know what to say, right? Or they want to make sure they get it right. And that's why organizations like ours are so vitally important. Whether you're a member or not, we're going to help you craft the best language to help us help you, right? And so, I just encourage people to do that. Reach out, and if you want to help and you want to be a part of it, let's rock and roll. And it's not just us.
Those would be the best things.
Right.
And again, Levi, more time, if people weren't listening the first time, how to get a hold of you? Best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, MidwestCouncil.org is our website, and there's a contact form on there, and Allison will get it and shoot it off to us.
Okay.
And that's, if you got a question, anything, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Pesticide Label, just put that in the subject and put your question. We'll find it. We'll help out.
Excellent.
Much appreciated. Thanks for coming in, Levi. Much appreciated.
Always appreciate your guys' time.
Always a good time having you in.
All right.
All right. Well, when we come back, we will do a recap of the weather. We've got a couple of ag topics ahead as well, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 154 in the afternoon. We got temperatures in the 20s across the area with wind chills in the single digits. It's a cold one out there, but it's only going to get colder. We've got pretty quiet weather for at least the next 12 hours. And then as we head into later tomorrow, we're going to see some Arctic air start to make its move out of Canada. In fact, southern Canada, just over the border, expecting wind chills 40 to 45 below Tuesday into Wednesday. That's dangerously cold, and we'll be seeing some of that enter the far northern valley. That's where the coldest weather is going to be. But we're looking at temperatures tonight dropping off into the teens, and northwest winds not bad, about 10 to 15. Tomorrow, west-northwest winds pretty much on the light side for the first half of the day. As we head towards late afternoon and into the evening hours, we'll see that Arctic front arrive, and that will trigger off some snow showers. I could see very minor accumulations, a half inch or less out of that. With temperatures in the daytime hours tomorrow in the 20s, by the time we get after sunset, temperatures rapidly start to fall, with winds really picking up tomorrow night out of the northwest, 15 to 30 and gusty, producing wind chills about 20 below or colder. And then we're stuck in the deep freeze Wednesday and Thursday with single-digit highs and wind chills on Wednesday, about 20 below all day long, and then we'll slowly moderate things as we head into the weekend. Seeing a slight chance of snow possible over the weekend and into early next week. No big storms, just little minor systems the way it looks right now. So I know there's a lot of people that want a little more snowpack around here, especially for I had an email today, a place out in Bemidji, you know, snowmobiling and ice fishing, and they have a resort out there wondering, you know, hey, are we in for any big snows coming up here in the short term? And I don't see it. And after next week, through Christmas, the LRC has a pretty active storm track, but unfortunately, it looks like it's down to our south, where when that cycles back, hopefully that pulls a little further north later in the season on the next LRC cycle. We can get a little more precip up here, but it's been a little dry. But remember, there's two parts to the LRC cycle this year. There's the very dry part, and then there was that very wet part that we had in November. So we're about ready to go back into that dry part of the cycle. So that's why I'm hoping to get a little more moisture up here before we go into a more dry extended period of the LRC cycle.
Well, if you're looking for the chance to get away and not have to worry about that cold weather, well, consider that there is a giveaway that we're doing for Vegas. This is called the Desperado Vegas Dream Vacation. It's presented by American Security and Gate. This is a trip for two, round fare airfare from Fargo to Las Vegas. Two tickets to see the Eagles at the Sphere, as well as spending cash and a hotel stay. We are taking qualifiers later on this week. On our show, you're going to hear the sounder for a qualifier. pay attention, so you make sure that you call in when it's the right time so that you can get registered for that trip. We'll be giving it away at a giveaway party on Wednesday, January 8th. So be paying attention. It's coming along very, very soon. And we're excited. We're hoping people, get ready for this and look for a little bit of a winter break.
Right. And that'll be later this week. You can qualify on WAG here. We'll be taking a qualifier later this week, so be sure to be listening for your chance to qualify for that. Have you been to the Sphere, Bridget?
No, but I've seen everybody's Snapchat stories that it looks awesome.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I haven't been there myself, but I've had friends that have gone there, and they said just the concert and just all the special effects that they have inside of there are just absolutely incredible. So, yeah.
It's pretty cool. And people, again, if you're looking for that winter getaway, here's your chance to sign up and be a part of it. We hope that you're the right number so you can join in on that fun. That would be great.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. For Bridget, myself, hope everybody has a safe afternoon. If you're traveling, again, roads are improving, so that's good news there. But cold, cold weather is on the way. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.